Expo, your host, 1340 KYNS.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The ACLU says it is fighting for equality, helping four women sue to be assigned to promotion-rich combat units.
Conditions in this war, women have more of an equal opportunity to die for serving their country.
Army Sergeant Jennifer Hunt says the whole war zone is dangerous.
The suit makes the point that excluding women from ground combat jobs is outdated, given the reality of modern warfare. For all those deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan, combat is described as 360-365, all around them, every day. The four women involved in the suit have all completed tours where they served in combat or led female troops who went on missions with combat infantrymen.
CBS's Pam Coulter on the front lines in Washington, D.C. U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice apparently made no headway in her meeting with Republican critics like Senator Lindsey Graham.
The American people got bad information.
The meetings with Rice apparently didn't satisfy top Republicans. Rice told them the initial assessment as to what caused the Benghazi attack was wrong, but was provided by the intelligence community. Senator Lindsey Graham said afterwards he's more disturbed now than he was after Rice's initial explanation on September 16th. And he and Senator McCain indicated they're still not willing to consider Rice as Secretary of State at this point.
CBS's Cammie McCormick in Washington. The number of new HIV/AIDS cases in the U.S. is holding steady at about 50,000 new ones a year. That's the good news. The bad news is
young people today account for about one out of every four new HIV infections in the U.S.
Dr. Thomas Frieden at the CDC. Wednesday's Powerball lottery drawing will be worth something north of $500 million. Odds are we'll still be working on Thursday, though.
The odds of winning the jackpot are one in 175 million. I will mention that the overall odds of winning something are one in 31.8. For example, on Wednesday, we expect to award over 70 prizes of $1 million each.
Chuck Strutt at the Multi-State Lottery Association. The holiday shopping season may be better than last year based on consumer confidence. Ken Goldstein at the conference board.
Consumers are less pessimistic. It's not that they're more optimistic, they're less pessimistic. Willing to spend at least a little bit more money, and of course, as they do, business is very likely to turn around and hire a few more people.
On the other hand, he says durable goods orders in October went flat as corporations turned cautious with their big-ticket buying. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 54 points. NASDAQ is off one. The S&P has dropped 3 points, and oil price is still about $87 and change a barrel. Chicago is celebrating a blues legend. Buddy Guy, one of the several artists slated for Kennedy Center honors on December 2nd. Chicago sending him off in style with a concert on the lakefront this afternoon. He's about 76 now and still young. This is CBS News.
The holidays are all about spending time with loved ones. Whether you're celebrating old family traditions or starting a few new ones of your own, the Company Store is here to help you make your holidays truly memorable. Find everything you need to create an inviting space filled with all the comforts of home at thecompanystore.com. Start with luxurious bedding, from festive flannel sheets and sumptuous quilts to the highest quality down comforters. Pamper yourself and guests alike with ultra-plush towels offered in a variety of sophisticated colors. The Company Store has all the seasonal decorations you will love, like whimsical pillow covers, felt stockings, and doormats. Set a merry mood for your home the moment friends walk in the door with the Company Store. Give the gift of warmth with cozy microfleece robes, down booties, and their popular family flannel pajamas. Patterned and exclusive prints and sized for one and all. Even the family dog. More products, more comfort, more of what you love. The Company Store. Now through Wednesday only, get 20% off your entire order plus free shipping when you enter promo code MONDAY at thecompanystore.com.
In Texas, there is a new way to help and shelter your elderly parents. Put them in the backyard. It's a fairly pricey new kind of mini shelter.
The Med Cottage, or Granny Pod, as it's nicknamed, is the size of your average master bedroom and is supposed to fit easily into the backyard of any home. The $125,000 mobile dwelling is advertised as an alternative for families to easily care for an elderly relative.
It would give you the feel of something like a hospital room, but it's very residential looking inside.
Kenneth Dupin is the creator of the Med Cottage and says it's equipped with many smart systems, including a timed medication dispenser and video monitors you can control with an iPhone. Joe Gomez, CBS News, Dallas.
Police in Buffalo, New York are asking for the public's help catching some bad guys. A 96-year-old man is in a hospital, his jaw broken in multiple places by young men armed with a knife and a gun who invaded his home, pistol-whipped him, beat him, and robbed him. He feebly tried to fend them off by throwing a lamp at them. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You want to give one special gift. It shows that you love what they do. It gives them cheer all through the year. You always hear, thank you. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Find something fun for everyone. Garmin.com, Garmin.com.
Dear Honda, thanks for giving my boyfriend Jake a great deal during your Happy Honda Day sales event. He said it's the perfect time to get a new Civic. It could be because the dealers are giving great deals on new Civics, but I think it means he's ready to pop the question. Plus, with the money he saved, I'm thinking giant rock. Love, Shelley Evans, Nay Brown.
More happiness with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Now's the time to get a great deal like 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on the 2012 Civic. Visit your Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
Here with Bill Banger, talking sheep, friends and neighbors, Neck 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo. Is there a name for today? Is it like Too Little Money Left Tuesday?
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Everybody knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sleigh, Santa's on his way. Idlers, we are a family-owned company, and we love where we live.
We are your neighbors.
We are. How'd you sleep last night?
Idlers Sleep Source has the perfect beds for a perfect night's sleep.
Ready for perfect?
Try Sealy, Simmons Beauty Rest, Tempur-Pedic.
We have them all and more.
At every price.
Free delivery, free setup, free haul away, every day.
Paso,
San Luis Obispo,
Idlers.net.
Idlers Sleep Source. Best prices guaranteed.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
They're caring, they're sharing, they're doing their thing right there. Country Oaks. Hi, Bill. Talk is cheap. It's a day, kind of, but and then tomorrow, this was the headline I had the paper today. Ready for this? Rain, colon. Feel it on your fingertips on Wednesday. What if you have your hams down at your sides? Sorry. Okay, let's do our birthdays and stuff today and what happened on history and everything according to the Tribune. I wasn't big on that headline there at all. Okay, here we go. We even had to do with Stevie Wonder. Our Highland history on November 27th of 1942, during World War II, the Vichy French Navy at Toulon scuttled its ships and submarines to keep them out of the hands of German troops. On this date in 1978, San Francisco Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milker of gay rights activists were shot to death inside City Hall by former Supervisor Dan White, who had a Twinkie or something. Our birthday today, that's all there was for TV host Bill Nye, the Science Guy, is 57. Caroline Kennedy is 55. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty is 52. Actress Robin Givens is 48 today. We'll say happy birthday to them, but most especially to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the slow promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Here's the news. Another action filled adventure.
Here's the news you can use from CalCoastNews.com right now. And according to CalCoast News, approved by California voters, Prop 30, this school finance measure may have thrown a monkey wrench into public education reform. Some advocates of change are asserting, but teachers' unions representatives disagree. $6 billion injection may be a precursor to a battle between outspoken advocates of major education reform and the California Teachers Association. Former State Senator Gloria Romero, who, with others, has been lobbying for specific changes in the way public education is administered, believes the bandage on the current system may forestall any real effort at reform. She said recently that meaningful changes to raise student achievement, modify the rule of teacher seniority, scrap the existing school finance system, ensure the teacher pension fund stays solvent, may be jeopardized by an atmosphere of complacency generated by the huge cash infusion into the system. She's right. It can't be good. CTA President Dean Vogel said his group is not opposed to reform, just stupid reform, which is not really reform at all, is it? Okay, next story. Next story, please. Okay, next story we got right here is we've got. I told you that story yesterday. The mother, father, and son drowned trying to rescue the dog, which was just sad but true. A California Highway Patrol officer who crashed his 2004 Ford Explorer in Aurora Grande while allegedly under the influence of drugs may be headed to trial. Michael Mallory, who was acting as the public information officer of the CHP Santa Maria office at the time, was on his way to work at about 6:30 in the morning on August 8th when he crashed his Ford Explorer into two parked cars. Police officers responded to the crash, and Mallory seemed impaired, and they conducted a field sobriety test. The test eliminated alcohol and drug use. It was expected. They said that no alcohol was eliminated, and drug use was suspected. Did I say that right? Mallory's attorney, William Aaron, told NewsHawk last month that his client's blood screening, which originally came back negative for both drugs and alcohol, was positive for Ambien, a sedative and popular sleep aid. Aaron said that he and San Luis Obispo County District Attorney's Office had not been able to reach a settlement in the case, which he had hoped could be dropped, but both sides appeared in San Luis Obispo Superior Court last week. We did not resolve the case in court, Aaron told NewsHawk. The DA's office has not made an offer, but is acceptable to my client. Prosecution hasn't offered anything less than a DUI, Aaron told NewsHawk. Santa Maria CHP did not place Mallory on administrative leave, though he is no longer the agency's public information officer. Trial setting conference has been set for December 27th with a tentative trial date of January 28th. He's no longer the spokes officer. Now, this story surprised me right here a little bit. I'll tell you why when we get to it. A man robbed a gas station past Herbal Sunday and then turned himself into police in Fresno on Monday. Charles Donald Wheeler of Paso Robles robbed Eagle Energy Gas Station at 2400 Golden Hills Road without using a weapon and rode away on a Harley-Davidson-style motorcycle. They're so specific all the time about what kind of vehicles they are. How could they possibly say a Harley-Davidson-style motorcycle? What exactly was it? Paso Robles police said that Wheeler, 51, took money from the register while a cashier was on duty around 10:20 a.m. on Sunday. No injuries occurred. This guy sleeps in. Wheeler robbed the gas station while wearing blue jeans and a red shirt, as well as a black rag covering his head and a pair of dark sunglasses. On Monday, Wheeler surrendered himself to the Fresno Police Department. Paso Robles detectives drove to Fresno early Monday afternoon to return Wheeler to San Luis Obispo County and book him in jail on a single count of robbery. And wanted to visit Fresno. And then lastly today... Oh, I think we already got that. We got the guy that was arrested for child pornography. Okay, we already got that, so we're done. So that's what's going on right now at 12:18 exactly. You're up to the minute on CalCoastNews.com through KYNS, your news station. I forgot, that was my fault. Hey, hi, howdy hee, heidi ho. It's Tuesday, and we did all kinds of shopping yesterday. Apparently, we set records and everything, and you know, I don't know, whatever. You know, everybody's frowning about, you know, this materialism that we've fallen into at Christmas time. This is actually pre-Christmas time to me. It's not even 12 days before Christmas. For gosh sakes, leave it alone. But here's the other thing that I want to point out: the fact that it means the economy is doing one heck of a lot better than it was. You know, if you remember 3-4 years ago, people didn't even go out Christmas time to shop. You know what I'm saying? They regifted stuff in their own garage to family members that were sitting right there that had given the gift to begin with. So they didn't do any of that. So that's pretty cool. So I think we should look at the brighter side of this. What was, Lon Allen today. Lon's become our official Central Coast curmudgeon. He's saying, he said, you know, a show of shopping gluttony. How dare you have all this stuff like Gray Thursday, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday. What are you talking about? Anyway, he said down here, though, here's what he said, because I remember I said this yesterday. We know where we err. We know what the problem is. I realize I am no longer a target audience for anything except adult diapers or Metamucil. But I'm very concerned about both the retail industry and the news media's ongoing attempt to whip us into extreme shoppers who turn any given holiday into a reason to spend. But see, but you didn't, Lon. I didn't. You know, it works on some people and doesn't on others. That's fine. We're fine. We have enough money to spend. This was sort of a surprising story when you consider how popular the TV show is. Now, this is weird. I never watched Two and a Half Men when it was in its original, form, as it was on TV with Charlie Sheen and all. And yet, but I've watched it in reruns every now and then. It depends on the news. You know what I'm saying? If the news is hot at 6 o'clock, I think that KSBY has some news for me at 6 o'clock. I'll stick with the news. But I'm saying to myself, it's not a big news day. I'll go to Two and a Half Men rerun. Of course, now there's a new guy. What's his name? Ashton Kutcher, plays Charles Sheen. But here's the deal. The kid, well, he's not a kid anymore, he's a teenager, but the young guy, whose name is Angus T. Jones. Now, if you had sat me down and said, we're going to give you 20 years to tell us who Angus T. Jones is, I couldn't do it in 20 years. 20 would be not half enough. Anyway, so the kid who's always played, he's the half on Two and a Half Men, he calls the show filth. He said, it's disgusting. Why would you watch this show? Now, here's the one part that I didn't understand about the show. I mean, people are grown up. If that's what they want to watch, I'm not picking a nit with that. But here's what's weird to me, and I have to say this honestly. The reruns, now, this may, the current show series may run after 8 o'clock at night. Is that the family hour, 7, 8? 8 to 9? I don't know, whatever it is. Anyway, nobody knows anymore. It may run after that, but the reruns are shown at 6 o'clock at night, and I have to admit, I've been absolutely stunned sometimes by what's been said, not because of me, please understand, but because it's at 6 o'clock at night and they're just doing that. I'm like, okay, but I got to be honest. I don't watch a lot of sitcoms. I don't really get. I just don't. But anyway, here's the thing that I'm going to tell you. When I have watched them, there's just more and more innuendo is hardly the word anymore. I mean, it's not even innuendo anymore. It's not double entendre anymore. It's just, it's what he called it, kind of filth. So anyway, that was interesting. He has a year left in his contract. I mean, I probably in their contract they didn't say anywhere you can talk badly about the show you're in. I bet it didn't say that anywhere. That you can't talk badly about the show you're in. I bet they left that out. Not imagining that someone would all of a sudden go, the show I'm in sucks. Okay, so we'll see what happens for the next year. Beyonce, singer, dancer, now director. HBO announced that a documentary about the Grammy-winning singer will debut February 16th. She's going to direct a film about herself. Has she got enough miles under her belt to have a show about herself? Maybe some of these younger people are accomplishing a lot more than I did in the time span that they've been on the planet. We can only assume. Halle Berry's ex says he was beat up. Let's get how this was working. Halle Berry's ex is like a male model. They have a daughter. That's a big bone of contention between the two of them, okay? Halle Berry has not done well. Halle Berry reminds me of Taylor Swift. She has not done well in love as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so now she has a new boyfriend. The new boyfriend was a professional boxer. The model decides to get into the boxer's face. What was he thinking? When you see his face, you know he wasn't thinking at all because he got just plain whooped. And so now he's got a restraining order against the boxer guy. And the whole thing's just half mad, to tell you the truth. But anyway, when you look at this guy, you go, yeah, that was a bad idea. Should have done that. Okay. It made that guy in Pappy McGregor, it made him look good. Let's talk about other things going on here. I mentioned this yesterday real briefly, but the police department is going crazy over Manhattan because in the confetti at the parade, they had police information and social security numbers and all that, which is really, I don't know, could you get a whole strip of paper with a social security number? Maybe. Anyway, Facebook copyright posts are a hoax. After a hoax post went viral, Facebook has reassured its users that they, not the company, own the copyright to the content they post on the social network. However, Facebook's terms say that users own the copyright to their content but license it to Facebook so they can social network and share it with your friends. You know why this happened, of course, don't you? This is this weird rigmarole, legal mumbo-jumbo that's basically saying, you know, it has nothing to do with it. It's your post. You just happen to do it on our thing. This is how Napster, you know, tried to get away with being Napster for all those years. We're just sitting here in the middle, and people can share music on it. We're doing nothing. We're not doing anything wrong. Oh, okay. Well, so now, because of this thing, remember what happened in England where they, on a Twitter post that went all around, and they accused somebody of something with children. But that was not true. So now, you know, they're considering suing, you know, 24,000 people. So I know exactly that's why they came out with that just now. That says, the words are yours. They got nothing to do with me. But in a way, you give us permission to go ahead and share it with other people. That's like, can I tell you this? I'm sitting here, I'm trying to get ready for the big presentation, and then and get everything, I get my ducks in a row, as they say, and I hear a public service announcement for the Wildlife Land Trust. So here's what they're doing. They go to the guy, this is directed at the guy who's the hunter guy, okay, shooter, hunter, and they go to him and they say, you know, the animals you like to hunt and all that, well, someday they could all disappear if, you know, if there's no land left to have them on there. So if you have land, you might want to put it in the land trust. Now, I would bet, dollars to donuts right now, I don't gamble. I know I said I didn't gamble, but dollars to donuts, I bet that the land trust, once you put your money, land in the land trust, you're probably not allowed to hunt on it anymore, are you? Are you? So, I don't know, but I was kind of suspicious about the whole way they did that. But maybe you can still, they just want to make sure your land stays in preserved wild, you know, wildlands, and you can go hunt all you want to. I'll have to look that up. I looked up something else. I got some very interesting facts today that were rather surprising. So we're going to talk about diet. We're going to talk about diet today as it relates to another thing that's very important to women and men all over the world. But first and foremost, we are going to see what this public service announcement says. This is where they read your story and you get all excited and say, I got to read that book, maybe.
Prince Caspian and his horse entered a dark and seemingly endless pine forest. The stories Caspian had heard of trees being unfriendly to man crowded into his mind. The wind became a tempest. The woods roared and creaked all around him. There came a crash. A tree fell right across the road just behind him. Lightning flashed and a great crack of thunder seemed to break the sky in two just overhead. The horse bolted in good earnest. Caspian was a good rider, but he had not the strength to hold him back. He kept his seat, but he knew that his life hung by a thread during the wild career that followed. Tree after tree rose up before them in the dusk and was only just avoided. And suddenly something struck Caspian on the forehead, and he knew no more. Find out what happens next in the book The Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian by C.S. Lewis. For other great book ideas, visit www.literacy.gov. Explore new worlds, read. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Relies on On Thursdays at 106 and 7/8, Talk is Cheap is delighted to bring you Reel to Reel
with your host, Bill Benica,
and the Palm Theater's Jim D.
We spend time chit-chatting about all things movies, with current hits to box office flops.
And, of course, all the great movies for the week at the Palm. Luckily, Jim is very knowledgeable about the industry.
And as luck would have it, I'm pretty knowledgeable about the movie industry.
Jim and Bill on Reel to Reel Thursdays at 106 and 7/8.
We're only in it for the movies.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
All right, it's based on this, it's based on that, it's based on stuff. All right, you're Bill Benica, Talk is Cheap. Thanks for joining me today on this Tuesday, even though it's ugly. Just don't look out the window, and we won't bother. Of course, if you drive a bus, it's going to be hard. Okay. All right, other things going on. All right, let me tell you some of the stuff I looked up. I was exploring. I was investigating. I got to thinking about stuff. First, let me tell you what happened. Nancy, today, I have my coffee. And she says, would you like one of these? They're yummy. I go, what is it? She said, a peanut butter cup, one of these little miniature jobs. I go, oh, sure, okay, fine. So I take a bite, and a little bite, and I eat it. I go, wow, that was pretty good. Where's that from? She goes, Trader Joe's. I grab my throat and flop myself around like a seal. I go, oh, no, Trader Joe's. She goes, what's the matter? I said, they just recalled their peanut butter, along with lots of other people's stuff. Anyway, so I went through the trouble of going to the FDA site and investigating and finding out, because I really wanted to find out, and it was only the peanut butter itself that and some other kind of nut butter that was recalled. But this Sunland Corporation in New Mexico, think of all the people that depend, and there was a lot of recalls, and think of all the people that depend on the fact that these people produce a product, and they assume that what they're providing is healthy. And then it turns out that Sunland Corporation wasn't cleaning their machines. They were untidy, and that's why it was developing all the salmonella and stuff. So anyhow, so I really feel bad for the retailer at the end when somebody else kind of, you know, messes with the pooch. So anyway, that was too bad. But anyway, so I checked to make sure that everything was okay. And if you want to buy a peanut butter cup, actually now the peanut butter has been recalled, the batch that was bad. I know, but you might say, I might try Jif. Bill tells me Jif is pretty darn good peanut butter, so I might try Jif this next time. But anyway, but then if you want to have a dark chocolate peanut butter cup, I'm going to recommend that TJ's. So it's pretty darn good. Hey, what else do they got here? They had in the news the what do they call it? The iMed Pod. Is that correct? Is that what I'm getting at? iMed Pod. And it's $125,000. It's kind of like bigger than a living room, but not much, or bedroom. And you put it in your backyard, as if all the cities in the world are going to allow you to do that. You're going to have to somehow sneak it back there if you live in San Luis Obispo. I can tell you, honest to gosh, there's no possible way you're going to get a permit for this. So it's hard to sneak a big thing that we have a big crane involved and helicopters and, you know, the military and everything. But anyway, but if you put this thing in your backyard, and then if you want to monitor someone who's, especially who's elderly, you know, they got special monitoring things you can look at and little alarms and stuff and pill dispensers and all that kind of thing. So that's pretty good right there. So it's called the iMed Pod. Is this kind of like Cocoon? Remember the movie Cocoon? I think this is different. There's no Martians involved. Okay. So that's a little different than that. So that's what happened there. So that was one idea. All right, here's what I want you to know that I looked up. I did some research for you and me, to tell you the truth. I wondered, again, because I saw something pink that came out. I think it was a toy that has a little ribbon on it, but anyway, something pink. And I thought to myself, and for some reason the question came to my mind that I've never bothered to ask before, and I've wondered it and not done anything, but I decided to do something today, so I Googled it. And so my question to myself was, what country, by order, what country has the most cases of breast cancer? And does that tell us something? Well, this is weird. The worst was Iceland. This is out of 26 countries. The worst was Iceland,
And then the second was like, and don't hold me to this because it's one of the Scandinavian countries, Denmark. But then Norway and Finland were did very well. But the number of cases per 100,000 was very high in one of the Norwegian countries, but not in the other two. So I didn't get that. We are number 17. The United States is number 17. The least number of cancer deaths per 100,000 or cancer cases per 100,000 is Japan. So I, you know, Nancy said, there you are, the rice, the fish, the whole thing, you know what I mean? I ate some of that when I was in Vietnam. I could not sustain that diet. You know, minute rice, Uncle Ben's minute rice, and sardines is what we had for a short time. I couldn't do it. Anyhow, so, and then here's the other number that's really kind of startling. The incidence of breast cancer in women in Iceland is 5 times greater than that in Japan. So I guess we got to start eating rice and seaweed and stuff like that. Whatever else to eat. Probably stuff you don't want to eat. Things that wiggle and look funny. But I'm telling you. One would suspect the diet must be in there somewhere, don't you think? Wow. All right. Tomorrow, it says in the paper, you could feel raindrops on your fingertips, provided, of course, that you put your hands up over your head with your palms up. Okay, moving on, Bill. Move on. Hey, Bill, teasing everybody all the time. Move on. I'm moving on. I have breaking news here to share with you. I do have news. It's like crazy. Oh, okay, so here we've told you about the peanut butter. So we might as well do this now. Let's get them both done at the same time, okay? All right, I got a couple of food product things we should know about. And this, if you're eating your lunch, you know, this, well, it depends on what you're eating. Consumer Reports was not happy about something they discovered. So I'm going to see if I can get this thing to play for you and you can find out what it is. You don't have no visuals and needed in this particular report. So it's just what you're hearing. What you're hearing is what you're getting. That's the way I see it. Sign your name. Okay, we're going to hit it now. Okay, so here's what I got. We're talking the other white meat is what we're going to talk about here. Toys R Us, obviously.
Toys R Us is having a buy one, get one sale. Friday and Saturday, save big on Skylanders, Giants, Fisher Price, and more. Plus Store Busters and Price Match.
Why shop anywhere else for toys? Why?
Consumer Reports is ringing alarm bells this morning over pork safety. A new study shows chops and ground pork may be full of bad bacteria. Jim Axelrod is here with the story. Jim, good morning.
Well, good morning, Nora. A whole host of foodborne illnesses is caused by these bacteria. We're talking about stomach aches, vomiting, diarrhea, fever, even in the most extreme cases, death. But Consumer Reports says bacteria are not the only thing pork eaters should be worried about.
For years, pork has been promoted by the industry as a healthy food option, the other white meat.
Dinner's ready.
But a new report suggests otherwise.
We found potentially harmful bacteria on most of the samples of pork that we tested. One organism we looked at, Enterococcus, is more a measure of filth indication, maybe fecal contamination.
Of nearly 200 pork samples tested by Consumer Reports, many tested positive for Salmonella, Listeria, staph bacteria. The magazine says a whopping 69% contained Yersinia, which infects nearly 100,000 Americans every year. Children are especially vulnerable.
You always expect to find some bacteria in any meat product, but those are usually harmless. And I think the real surprise here was to find so many potentially disease-causing bacteria.
Even more, 90% of the bacteria Consumer Reports found were said to be resistant to antibiotics. In other words, they were superbugs.
All of those things paint a very concerning picture about this indiscriminate use of antibiotics in meat production in this country and what we believe are the resulting consequences of that.
Consumer Reports was also alarmed by traces of ractopamine in 1/5 of the pork they tested. Farmers use the drug on their hogs to produce leaner cuts of meat. It was originally developed to treat asthma, but never approved for human use. Scott Hurd, a former top food safety official at the USDA, who has done consulting work for the pork industry, says Consumer Reports is, quote, inflamed and used a small amount of data to frighten people. And he says the meat is safe.
The average person would have to eat over 700 pounds of pork every day for their entire life in order to get enough ractopamine to be above that acceptable level by FDA.
Hurd says the sample size of the Consumer Reports study is too small to draw any broader conclusions. But he adds that germs can be found in nearly everything we eat, so consumers should always be careful when handling meat. That means cooking it thoroughly and washing your hands.
That's right.
Charlie, Norm?
That's
right.
Right.
Right
there. So 700 pounds a day of pork you'd have to eat for your whole life in order to get a certain level of badness of something in there. Which is more, I like bacon as much as the next person, but I 700 pounds, I can't do it. I just can't somehow. You can't get it down. Just can't happen. Yeah. Okay, so there was that. Now, and we have some other stories that are just as wacky and wild around. I have a story today about, if I find it, wheat, and the fact that most all of your average store brand bread is made, and cereal and many other products are made from corn that was genetically engineered back in the 60s and 70s before we really kind of knew what we were doing. And so this doctor says help. But here was his biggest concern, which is a little weird to me. You know, if somebody says, well, this is, sometimes, of course, it just depends on you. You know, sometimes somebody will say, it's this does this. And I'll say to myself, oh, yeah, you know, sometimes that does that in me. But lots of times I don't say that to my. It does nothing rings a bell. So he said, you eat this genetically modified meat, and you it makes you hungrier, and so you tend to eat 300 to 400 calories more per day because you've had this product. Now, if I have a bologna sandwich on just whole wheat bread, you know, Country Pride or something like that. It doesn't make me want to have another bologna sandwich. I was happy with the one bologna sandwich. So I'm not quite sure I understand that. So it doesn't do that, but it might do it to you, so be careful. I'm telling you. Watch out with your anything that's got the wheat in there. Watch out if it has some wheat in there, because it could be doing something funny to you. So I want to warn you away from that. I'm here to warn. Forewarned. All right. If you pass out tomorrow on the street or a sidewalk, perhaps, and you land with your palms up, you will feel raindrops on your fingertips tomorrow. Here's another thing, one of these wild and crazy things. You know, here we had this thing that for Facebook come out and said, well, it's really your property. It's not ours. It's just actually yours. We're just the middleman. I'm getting a kick out of that whole thing. Anyway, laws play catch-up in the digital world. Incidents highlight a question of whether smartphone data can be used by police. So there's going back and forth, lawyers and judges and people and politicians and all the stuff about, you know, what can a cop do with your smartphone without having to have a search warrant, your permission, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, the example they give is so painful that it almost just defies imagination. It's one of those things where something is thrown out because they said it was obtained illegally, even though the thing they found was convincing enough to convict the person or prove the person had done something wrong. In this case, it was a six-year-old boy that led the man to a man being charged with murder. Then the police, they said, they threw out the cell phone evidence saying the police needed a court order for it. Now, can you imagine being the parent of a six-year-old boy that was murdered? And the guy that did it is sitting right there in front of you, and they know it is because of what he had on his cell phone. And they tell you, but you can't use that. I know. The laws are designed to protect the least of us and the most famous. Equally, kind of. But anyway, amazing. All right. Speaking of police things in court, the passive murder trial probes insanity police. So here this guy that was during this crazy stabbing at in the Paso Robles laundromat with this John F. Woody Jr.,
who stabbed Martin McWilliams numerous times. So he was convicted earlier this month. Now they have to say, okay, was the guy a whack when he did it? Here was a term I've never heard before. On Monday, Middleton, Judge Michael Duffy will render the verdict. If Woody is found guilty, Scotch's witnesses on the phase will expand on testimony offered during the first phase. Where is the name of this other guy? Where is this first name? Oh, Thomas Middleton. I'm sorry. A psychologist hired to testify on behalf of John Woody Jr. He said, this is what he said. He testified that Woody was in a dissociative fugue. Is that how you say that? F-U-G-U-E? Fugue? Fugue. Fugue. Anyway, he was in one of those states when the crime occurred. People in that state, I'm not even going to try to say that again, usually triggered by emotional or physical trauma, have been known to do really wacky things. So he was in a foo-you thing. So I'm glad that Judge Michael Duffy gets the pleasure of having to figure that one out. Okay. I couldn't do it. That's why I'm not a judge. All right. Guess what? The city of Paso Robles, whose budget for road improvement is $3 for next year, fiscal 2013, got some dough from the state, $533,500, and so then actually they added $150,000, which is supposed to go for parades and the Paderewski Festival, but they added that money into it so they could repair Union Road. It's all nasty. So they're going to fix that road, just so you know. I just want to let you know. Okay. Now, this is moving right along here. You know, in this electronic age, the outcome of elections has gotten slower rather than faster. Election results may be certified this week as a final count wraps up. County Clerk Recorder said the 2,000 remaining ballots should be wrapped up by tomorrow. Julie Rodewald said that. Now, this is interesting because years ago when I was on a station that we covered the election, and we live election coverage. You know, I sat there and anchored the darn thing. We had people all over the place. And the problem back then was that actually this is, you're going to think, that's not true, Bill. It is. It was sort of like Pony Express, but not quite as bad. It was by car. The North County ballots were brought by vehicle to the county government center. And so that took extra time. Then they had to be counted, of course. That's after the polls closed. They had to get them down there, and it took extra. So we would stay on the air all night and talk about the different things and say, here's what happened. And we all smelled pretty gamey in the morning, I can tell you. But we stayed on the air all night, and we do this election thing. And as the results came in, and they were tallied. But I don't remember, and I could be wrong about this, and I could ask Julie Rowell and say, Julie, am I crazy if I don't remember the right thing? This is 30 years ago. I don't remember that we had results days later. I just don't remember that. But that, it could be something I just don't remember. Now that works. Okay. Yeah, that works. Okay. I think I heard a little note about this. I think it was on TV last night, and I only heard it from afar because I was busy looking up some. Jody Fisher, who our local woman who was the Cayucas woman who passed away, that had her little kind of bucket list at the end there, her fun list, and gave out ice cream and was on Ellen DeGeneres. Her family, I guess, was on Ellen DeGeneres yesterday, unless it's next Monday. Battling cancer was once again invited to Ellen's show. The Ellen DeGeneres show on Monday, Fisher's husband Sean, shown in Canada, their show. I think it was yesterday because they already spoke. So anyway, but they talked about the final adventures and everything and how nice people were across the country. And the kids were given new Apple laptops and the family a $10,000 check to travel to Hawaii, a destination Fisher had hoped to make with her family. She met President Barack Obama, if you remember. She was on Ellen DeGeneres' show. That was another wish to be on her show, and then she died 3 weeks after that. Now... Whoa. Now's the perfect time. I had to look at the clock. I could be, just screwed. Oh, that's not, this isn't it. I thought for sure it was in today's thing. Well, somebody wrote a thing, all right? So I thought it was a letter. I thought for sure it was a letter. Anyway, somebody was writing a thing, and they were basically saying that, here's the deal, this whole idea of people going on the Ellen DeGeneres show, that we're too wrapped up in materialism. And the people go on the Ellen DeGeneres show where they get a prize, you know, it's strapped to the bottom of their seat or whatever it is. They always get some. And then everybody gets excited. And they say, but not, you know, not with the exception of, oh, I think this was, I know what it was. I think this was part of Lon Allen's thing. We TV watchers endured months of insipid commercials about, this was about the whole election thing. And then the electronic news media is just reporting it. Let me see. He had it here somewhere. Oh, here it is. The materialistic activity is further displayed with shows such as the Ellen DeGeneres Show, where people in the audience scream when they find out they're getting some doodad for free. I do applaud her donations to folks in genuine need. Can I say something, though? Can I say I would rather watch everybody in the entire world go on the Ellen DeGeneres Show but me, even, and get a toy, a prize, a car, I don't care what it is. Because I'm not flying to New York. Anyway, so here's the thing. So they go on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. I watched the other day for the first time to more than 10 seconds. I watched Rachel Ray. And she's a bubbly cookie person, you know, and does a lot of cooking on her show and everything. She's got the Food Network thing going on. So now she's got a little talk show. But anyway, but she does recipes on her talk show. Can I say this? Here's what I like about the Food Network show when she's doing it on the Food Network. She's just in a kitchen by herself, well, with a crew, you know, and she explains how she's cooking something. When she does it on her TV show, the people applaud when she adds a dash of salt. I'm going to add a dash of salt, and the people applaud. And I think I'm going to add a dash of pepper, and the people applaud. And they constantly applaud the whole time that she's making a fried egg. And it makes, like, no sense in the whole wide world to me. It's like, what are you doing? Where do you find these people? Of course, you may ask yourself that question. I, once again, your dutiful reporter here, I looked up the, and I have no idea. I don't understand why they do this. I don't get it. A show that I do watch from time to time because it makes me feel better about just life in general for myself, you know, is the Losers Without Lawyers, as Jim D calls it, and that's Judge Judy. Because a woman's making $150 million a year or something. Okay, I want to see what she says. So it's pathetic. Some of these things, I don't know how people could sit there and listen to it without just, you know, stand up with a gun and shooting them. But here's the interesting thing. They show scenes in between the commercials and her of New York City. They want you to think that it's in New York City, but it's not. It's in L.A. It's in Burbank is where the show is filmed. Now, they do fly the people in from all over the country that say that agree to be, you know, hear their case in people's court, and they, you know, all the money, win or lose, it doesn't cost you anything because it's basically, it's, you know, done by the network, pays for it. But here's the thing that I found interesting. Now, they may do this on lots of TV shows. How would I know? I don't know anything about TV shows. But they actually hire actress and actor wannabes to sit as the courtroom, and so they actually hire these people. So they fill it. They make sure. Now you can get tickets, I think, but if, let's say, they don't have enough people want the tickets, then they make sure they fill in all the spaces with people. And I'll tell you something else they do too. Did I ever tell you this? I noticed this. Whenever they show either the plaintiff or the defendant, and they're showing just them, that camera, there are always, the only thing behind them ever is women, never men. Always women, and they're always reasonably attractive. Is that okay to say it that way? They're all reasonably attractive. So it's a little bit gimmicky. But then what isn't? You know what I mean? I heard Mitch McConnell say that the President of the United States has to be so presidential that he can actually sway the Republicans his direction. The Republicans for 4 years have said, you can't sway us in your direction, and we're not going to let you. But he would be more presidential to the Republicans if he could actually somehow convince them to do it. I think that's called trial by ordeal. You know what I'm saying? What do I know? It's all crazy to me. Whole thing. All right. We shared some stuff this first hour. Lots of stuff. Gluttony and shopping and all that. Here's good news. Let's do some good news. Jobless rate continues to improve in the county. Addition of 4,100 new jobs drops local figure to 7.3%, while state rate is 9.8%. So we have fewer people unemployed in San Luis Obispo. Of course, people in San Luis Obispo realize if they're unemployed, they might as well leave San Luis Obispo because, you know, when you're stuck here, you're stuck. I think that's a part of it. I believe that's a component. I'm sorry, but I think it is. All right. And then they have a little thing going on, the Tribune, about share your funny holiday sweater. So you can send a picture with 100 words or fewer where you got the sweater and why you wear it. Can I be honest with you? Now, I may be a putz. I'm in the same league as Lon Allen, you know, diapers and Metamucil. But I like holiday sweaters, not for men so much, if I can say that. Men, not so much for men. But ladies' holiday sweaters, they always have something new and different, and I think they're fun. I think they add to the festivity and the fun of it myself. I guess I don't have enough bah humbug in me or something. I don't know what it is. I ignore what I don't want to pay attention to on the holidays and enjoy what I do enjoy. It's a sneezier way to live, I guess. Lighted Boat Parade is going to be this Saturday evening, December 1st, Morro Bay. You can go to morrobay.org, and here's a picture of a lighted boat right here. The best way to see the boat parade, can I be honest with you, because I thought it was very cool. The best way is to have a nice window seat at a restaurant somewhere, preferably one perhaps with, Irish coffee or something like that, and then park your butt at the window and just enjoy the boat parade. That's really, as speaking from experience, it's a lot warmer that way. My wife, Nancy, bless her heart, when we did the Christmas parade downtown, and for years I was one of the announcers for the Christmas parade, you know, they had numerous announcers, we sit in the back of a pickup truck provided by Valley Mazda. And so I met Nancy the very first Christmas I knew Nancy. I was announcing again for the parade, and so we're sitting on the back of the thing, freezing our fannies off, and she goes, "Why don't you sit inside the cab and start the motor and let the heater run?" I go, well, that's a great idea. And we did.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Four women are suing the Pentagon, saying they get shot at just like men. They need to be assigned to combat units so they can get the promotions just like men in the same uniforms.
They wore the same gear and they carried the same weapons. If the unit was attacked, my Marines fought back with the Marines.
That's Marine Corps Captain Zoe Bedell.
The women are challenging what they call the harsh brass ceiling that keeps them from advancing to the highest levels of the military. They point out they're already serving in combat in Iraq and Afghanistan, patrolling with infantrymen, getting shot down, returning fire, and being wounded. One of the plaintiffs, a helicopter pilot, was shot down in Afghanistan. An Army reservist was injured when her vehicle was hit by a roadside bomb.
That's CBS's Pam Coulter in Washington. The Air Force pilot Pam mentioned who was shot down got a Purple Heart and a Distinguished Flying Cross. You don't collect those medals playing pinochle in the rear. After meeting with U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice, South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said he's even less likely to support her for Secretary of State, and Arizona's John McCain.
We are significantly troubled by many of the answers that we got and some that we didn't get.
He has said it's clear the administration knew the story it was telling days after the deadly terror attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi was not the reality. And both Rice and President Obama were doing the telling. The U.S. is holding the line against HIV/AIDS with the numbers of new cases not increasing, but among the new cases are a lot of young people who are ignorant of their situation.
Young people, those ages 13 to 24, account for about 1 in 4 new HIV infections each year. And head of the CDC, Dr. Thomas Frieden, saying most don't know they are infected. And the most at risk?
Young gay and bisexual men report much higher levels of risky behavior than their heterosexual peers.
He says there needs to be better HIV education and more young people need to get tested. Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
On Wall Street today, the Dow lost about 89 points. The Nasdaq was down 9, and oil prices at $87.18 a barrel. What would you pay for one of Jimi Hendrix's famous Fender Strat guitars?
I'm Vicki Barker in London. 1967, the Monterey Pop Festival. Jimi Hendrix sets fire to his guitar, then smashes it on stage. In reality, Hendrix had switched instruments just before. His beloved black Fender Stratocaster remained safe and sound off stage. It's expected to fetch between about $200,000 and $300,000.
Tony-winning Broadway and movie producer Martin Richards has died. He produced the original Chicago on Broadway and the film version. He also did the shows Sweeney Todd and Will Rogers' Follies and movies including The Shining, Fort Apache, The Bronx, and Boys from Brazil. Martin Richards was 80. This is CBS News.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
For the second inauguration of Barack Obama, people are renting out rooms in their homes.
Homeowners with properties posted online got a blitz of calls and emails even before the election results were clear.
I woke up the next morning and I had over 130 emails to respond to.
Sherman King has 12 properties in the area. He says they're going for two or three times the usual rate for the inauguration.
Right now, rates are going from 500 to 1,000.
Kate Gibbs with Destination DC talks about the hotel picture.
The average rate 4 years ago was $605.
Andrew Mollenbeck for CBS News, Washington.
Alligators look scary and mean, but as pot farm guards, they can be bought with a dead chicken or two. Sheriff's deputies in Thurston County, Oregon, found two of them, five-footers, at a marijuana grow site where a man was found shot and wounded. The man who shot him claimed self-defense, but the deputies suspect a robbery, and both men are in trouble now. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Quietus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Can you hear that sound? That ringing. That hissing.
I can't get to sleep with it.
I can't concentrate. I hear it constantly. Everywhere I go, it doesn't go away. It drives me nuts.
It's tinnitus.
A constant ringing in your ear caused by loud machines.
Loud music.
Ah, finally. Quietus.
I love Quietus.
I couldn't believe it. No more ringing in the ears. No more hissing sound. Quiet relief so I can work.
No more ringing. No more loud fans.
And I sleep like a baby.
If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
After trying Quietus, the ringing stopped and I felt like I got my life back.
Quietus is real, my friend.
Quietus has changed my life.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-860-8517. That's 1-800-860-8517.
Go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest picture you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting?
You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. Mmm, that tastes great.
my sweet lover at me. Slowly, but surely, your appetite is more than I knew. Sweetly, softly, I'm falling in love with you. Wish me love, oh, wishing well, to kiss and tell.
Trendy Arby and Wishing Well. Hi, I'm wishing you're having a great day. I'm hoping that, anyway. You're with Bill Banka, Talker, Sheep, Friends, and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYMS, your news station. I see a little sun behind me right now. Not only like a child, I mean like sunshine. What's up with that? All right, well, it may be a little bit of sunshine right now, but we're supposed to have tomorrow. Rain on your fingertips. Okay. Raindrops keep falling on my fingertips. I think that's how the song must have gone. Okay. Let's talk about that thing. Oh, listen to me. Yeah, I got stuff in the news. Here was a story they had in the news about the fact that it says here, this is all it says. That there's a story that goes with it, but it says China lands jet on aircraft carrier. Was it theirs? I mean, the aircraft carrier. We're going to have to find out. I have to find out, okay, because I need to know whose aircraft carrier it was. Is it there? Do they have that one? First we have this, whatever this is first. Taking pictures of here's the taking picture thing again. I'm just going to turn that down while we take pictures there. Because that's not that exciting, taking pictures. Of course, listen to me, but Babel isn't that great either, but at least it's more radio-ish than it's a nondescript photographic imagining thing. Because that doesn't work. All right, show the woman the water, okay. Show the running tire, okay. Let's get over it. And the weather wizard says it's going to be rainy pretty much. I'm going to say pretty much the rest of the week and all the weekend. Well, this is not going to, they're not going to say anything either. They're just going to show the thing land. Okay. Cable number two, that's pretty good. That's good. They like to see that, cable number two. Okay. Well, this has to be a Chinese aircraft carrier. It's an angle carrier. It's the whole shebang here. Oh no! Wait, I'm going to take one off too. Let's wait. I'm going to tell you if it's going to take off. The noise you hear is obviously a Chinese aircraft. And so now we got. Now they're going to take one off here. I got to tell you something kind of funny about this, okay? There is actually something kind of funny about that whole thing. I have to share it with you because it's really kind of weird. And that is the fact that the Chinese, in an effort to make sure, you know, to make sure you got that last bit of oomph, you know, when your aircraft leaves the aircraft carrier, the aircraft carrier's flight deck slopes up dramatically at the end. So that the plane looks like it's, you know, heading the direction it's supposed to go. You know, U.S. carriers, they just throw the thing off and they assume that you're going to fly it. It makes them easy to identify, I guess. That's a good thing right there. Okay, right there. I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to share jet noises with you because it's so exciting when you get to hear those. Okay, let's see what else is going on in the world today. We do have other things. I want to find out these other things, stories about food and stuff and food. That you should know about. If I can find them, I'll find them eventually. Anyway, but there's other things going on with food. I had a doctor that was kind of interesting. There was a doctor that was interviewed extensively about this wheat thing. Okay, and I wanted to hear that. By the way, they're going to knock down, dissemble, whatever you want to say. The roller coaster was submerged by sand. They're going to remove it, which it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I was sitting there saying, well, wait a minute. That thing goes all the way from the ocean into land in this twisted form. And so what kind of velocity are you talking about there when somebody's walking out on a darn thing? So it's not even a reasonably good-looking reminder. So that's the way it is. That's in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. Now, they had another picture of a story in the news that was fascinating, I thought. A man in China who had quite a large house. I was kind of surprised. A three-story house in China. But he didn't want to sell it and move when they put a highway in. So they said, fine. They put the highway around him. He's now, his house is in the middle of this highway. You'll have that sometimes. The bridge to nowhere. Anyway, that's kind of really weird, I thought. Okay. Other things going on. Oh, there it is right here. I got the story right here. I found it. You say to yourself, Bill, well, how do you lose them? It's just a matter of, you know, the organization stuff. A modern wheat, a perfect chronic poison, according to this doctor. I think he's making a name for himself, too. That's part of it. But here we go. We're going to get to it here in a second. All right. Let's see. Okay. Get on planner. All right. We're going to get to it here. We'll see if there's an ad again first. Let me tell you right now that it's 17 now after the hour of... out of the hour, 1 o'clock, and that's news you can use right there. And, yes, we're waiting for a few more seconds while we see unlimited Android for less than one-half of the big guys. This is Metro PCS. All right.
The doctor who created Bill O'Reilly's new diet says skip the hamburger rolls and pasta salad at your Labor Day cookout. Dr. William Davis is a cardiologist and author of the best-selling book Wheat Belly, Lose the Wheat, Lose the Weight, and Find Your Path Back to Health. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Labor Day.
You too.
Why, in your estimation, is wheat so bad?
It's not wheat. It's an 18-inch tall plant created by genetics research in the 60s and 70s. This thing has many new features nobody told you about, such as there's a new protein in this thing called gliadin. We're not talking about gluten, so I'm not addressing the people who have gluten sensitivities and celiac disease. I'm talking about everybody else, because everybody else is susceptible, for instance, to the gliadin protein. That is an opiate. This thing binds to the opiate receptors in your brain and in most people stimulates appetite, such that you and I consume on average 440 more calories per day, 365 days per year. I bet you're hungry right now.
I'm always hungry right now.
We just did the bagels on the front of the book here. Do look appetizing. That said, so it's not necessarily the wheat. It's the kind of wheat that we're eating.
That's right. It's not the wheat that mom had. It's not the wheat that grandma had. Is a very different genetically changed plant. By the way, this all predates the techniques of genetic modification. So these techniques were crude, imprecise, unpredictable, far worse than modern genetic modification. So the stuff we're sold, which no questions asked, is the product of research that occurred before the techniques of gene splicing. So this thing's very different, has many new unique properties on humans. But the appetite stimulation effect is probably the most standout effect of all. But there are others.
Would it be possible to turn back the clock and go back to the old wheat? I mean, is that scientifically possible at this point in time?
It's very possible. It's economically unfeasible, probably, because this thing yields about tenfold more per acre. And so we'd have to ask farmers to take a loss, in effect. We'd have to ask agribusiness to revert back to old seeds. They can do it. They probably won't do it. Now, we have sparked a movement, and we are having a lot of people. They're having record drops in sales because of this, because so many people. I think what's driving this is the tidal wave of change. If three people lost 8 pounds, well, big deal. This thing just dies and fizzles, right? But we're seeing hundreds of thousands of people losing 30, 80, 150 pounds, diabetics becoming no longer diabetic, people with arthritis having dramatic relief, people losing their legs swelling, acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, depression, on and on and on, every day.
So here's the question. If people want to start eating healthier today, then, and they can't afford to go to a specialty store, they can't afford to manufacture their own wheat, what do they start doing right now?
Eat real single-ingredient foods. Eat avocados, olives, olive oil, meats, vegetables. Mm-hmm. In other words, real food, the stuff that is least likely to have been changed by agribusiness, certainly not grains. So when I say grains, of course, over 90% of all grains we eat are going to be wheat. It's not barley. It's not millet. It's not flax. It's going to be wheat. So it's really a wheat issue. Wheat has been the recipient of this extensive set of changes.
And yet there are a lot of farmers who deal in these grains who would argue otherwise. The Mayo Clinic argues otherwise. They say you need a well-balanced diet, and that includes wheat.
That's right, because all that literature says, if you replace something bad, white and rich flour products, with something less bad, whole grains, and there's an apparent health benefit, let's eat a whole bunch less bad things. So I take Carrington unfiltered cigarettes, replace them with Salem filtered cigarettes. You should smoke Salems. That is the logic of nutrition. It is a flawed, deeply flawed logic. What if we take the next step and say, let's eliminate all grains? What happens then? Particularly eliminate this modern thing created by genetics research called semi-dwarf wheat. That's when you see not improvements in health, that's when you see transformations in health.
You gave me a weird look when I said I had a whole wheat bagel this morning.
Well, you're working, and you got away with it.
I was trying to fire up before the broadcast, but that, generally speaking, even the whole wheat, just to reiterate, you're saying is a bad idea.
It's a very bad idea. In fact, I'll say modern wheat is a perfect chronic poison. It causes diabetes, it causes inflammation, it causes heart disease, it causes high blood pressure. Just because whole grains are less harmful than white flour does not make it a good thing. So we've got to use a whole new brand of clear logic on this. If we eliminate grains, eliminate wheat, really, specifically, semi-dwarf, high-yield wheat, that's when we see transformations. That's when you see all the diabetics get rid of their drugs. That's when we see people with rheumatoid arthritis throwing away all their drugs for joint pain. That's where you see high cholesterol going away. You see incredible transformations in health.
Food for thought?
A lot of food for thought.
A lot of food for thought. So that's really kind of interesting right there. That means that your BLT that has extra bread in it and all that kind of stuff, the three pieces of bread, or let's say a turkey club, you'd have to have substitute with cardboard or something of that nature. Unless the cardboard's been genetically modified, I have no idea. All right, let's talk about other things that are happening today. Let's talk about what's going on here. If tomorrow you go outside and tilt your head back and open your eyes, you'll be able to rinse your eyes out with the rain that's falling on your fingertips. All right, let's see what else is going on here. Here was an interesting story. Maybe we should get to it, but we're not right at the moment. I'm not in the mood. But they're saying it's not really a fiscal cliff. That makes it sound more dramatic. It's more of a fiscal slope, whatever that means. Somebody's got to do something. That's all I know. Okay, they have instability in Egypt once again. Here's huge riots going on Tahrir Square, and they've killed one guy at least with a tear gas grenade, hit him in the head or whatever. Yeah, that's really not good. Doctors urge to prescribe Plan B to young teens. Doctors should give underage teenage prescriptions for emergency contraception, such as Plan B, before they start having sex, instead of waiting until a young patient's Plan A goes awry. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you're 17 years old or older than in most states and most pharmacies, then you can just get the pill. All right, now, if you're younger than that, if you're younger than that, I mean, if you get people that are weird enough to buy kids, underage people, alcohol, people that are weird enough to buy underage kids cigarettes, if you can get people to do that, I'm sure you could find a friend or an older sister, the friend of a friend's older sister's older friend, whatever it may be, that would say, oh, yeah, I'll go get you one. It's $50. Oh, you got to give me the $50. But I'll go get you one. And meanwhile, of course, we rail on the hypocrisy of not my daughter, not me when I was young. All right, okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. What a fascinating story they had about plastic today. You're going to say, you mean like Dustin Hoffman, the guy saying plastic? No. This is recycling plastic. This here's a company, a milk company, that loses. Are you ready for this? This doesn't sound possible almost. This is the number that I saw there and was like, say what? Say what? Okay, right here. Plastic brings about 15 cents a pound is what it's selling for. And so here, Downey-based Rockview Farms Dairy loses nearly 1,200 plastic milk crates a day. And the theft costs at $1.4 million annually. So what they do is, they take the milk cartons, you know, those plastic milk cartons, which you can buy at your local Thrifty or Home Depot or whatever the case is. But, or you can steal them, I guess, from behind the store, and which just seems to be what's happening. And because the store doesn't seem to care much about it, and so they don't know how they're going to, it's not policed well. And so then they take it to a warehouse, they shred it, they make little beads, plastic beads out of that. Then they sell those at $15 a pound or whatever it is to the other countries. And then they just remake, they probably remake the milk carton and sell it back to the dairy. So that's really like, See, they say because unlike copper and some of these other things, when you swipe, it's fairly obvious you're swiping something that is obviously has some value to it. But, you know, people, they say people don't even pay attention when people are stealing plastic things. You know, they just, it's not noticeable. So, of course, my brain was going 100 miles an hour. All right, what is it you could, what is it you could make them out of? Why not make them out of wood? You know, laminate. It'd be real strong of some kind. Can you get money for wood? Don't make them out of rosewood. We learned yesterday you don't want to make them out of rosewood because that's going to set you back right there. Black walnut, some of those exotic woods. You can't be having that. But I was thinking wood, you know. But see, if you made that out of anything else, aluminum or any other metal, they'd recycle that in a minute. You would think that there would be, this doesn't seem that hard to me, but I, you know, things that seem easy to me, they for some reason they're not. Okay, and you can say to yourself, Bill, this is where you went wrong on this idea. So you would have, well, that's a problem right there. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. No, you'd have to affect the plastic itself. You'd have to do something with the plastic itself. Because it doesn't do you any good to mark the product because they take the product to a warehouse and they make beads out of it. They grind it down. So how could you, maybe what you do is you just, unless it's a legitimate company, how about that? Unless it's a legitimate licensed company, then, and you'll have a list of those that make, how many companies could make plastic beads? You know, ground, how many people sell, have Roundup, ground-up plastic that they sell in any given city? Okay. So let's say you have the most in L.A. All right, so you have a list of 25, let's say. I'm just throwing numbers out. I have no idea. So you have a list of 25. And so then the recyclers go, okay, you can't prove to me you're from one of these 25 countries, so you can take your ground plastic and take a walk. Now, why wouldn't they do that? See, here's why. Because I say it's so low-key. People don't really realize how much money's involved in the whole thing. I don't know how you can not realize when you got a company that's losing 1,200 plastic milk crates a day. Jeez. How, in comparison to that, how few shopping carts, I'm going to use the word few, how few shopping carts are taken by homeless people to use as transportation, and they and push things around? How many and look at the things where they now have fines of $900 million if you take a shopping cart. So something's wrong. Something's wacky again. Okay. EPA strengthens guidelines for water quality at beaches. Yeah, they're trying to get the bacteria. So they say they want to keep illnesses down to 32 per 1,000 people instead of the 36 we have now. So if you're one of the 32 people that's already one of the 36 and you've been getting sick all along, this isn't going to help you. You know, because you're still going to be one of the 32. Swim with your mouth closed is really what it comes down to. You know, I'll be happy to tell you that. Swim with your mouth closed. Because that seems to be a problem right there. Where is the story? This was such a crack up. I don't know where it is, but anyway. I played a few other things, and then I thought, you know, what if people, you know, people, they don't have a disclaimer of any kind. They're just so preposterous, I guess. This is called The Onion. And I guess it's so preposterous that they assume people know that they're kidding, but it's not necessarily so. They did a thing, The Sexiest Man Alive. And so what they did was they did this ridiculous thing about Kim Jong-un being the sexiest man alive because of his stature and his manly good looks and all that. A Chinese news agency didn't realize that they were being mocked, and they picked it up and they were bragging about the fact that Kim Jong-un was, in fact, the sexiest man alive. Had they ever seen him?
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-535-1061. 1-888-535-1061. That's 1-888-535-1061. 1-888-535-1061.
Taylor Dane tells my heart right there. I want to tell you about what's going on here. It's 133 right now, and the weather says tomorrow for sure. And then it gets dicey. I'm not going to say what the, because I've seen too many predictions for it's going to be wet tomorrow, then not so bad Thursday, Friday, then wet again Saturday, Sunday. I've seen every variation you can have of that. The only thing for sure that I'm almost sure of, and I'm not even sure of that I'm sure of it, even though it said 90% the last time I looked, is rain tomorrow. And then we will have more rain, but how much and what day? Someone apparently went into the locker at the National Weather Service and stole all the weather balloons because they don't know. They don't have it right. We'd like them to be returned, if you don't mind. Of course, maybe somebody's doing a thing like up, you know, and put them on their house. They're sending Edward Asner off into space. Edward Asner is now on Broadway in a play that apparently he's very good at. That's all I can tell you. I don't know that much about Broadway. I don't know anything about Broadway. Can I be really honest with you? I did see the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall when I was I think I was 12 years old. I did see it, but I didn't give a hoot about the Rockettes. The movie that year it was 1961. The movie that year was Absent-Minded Professor, and I was like, oh, we were like really ready to see the Absent-Minded Professor with Freddie Mercury, but we had to watch the women dancing first because my father enjoyed it. So I guess it was more special than just going to the movies. Okay, interesting life, Bill. All right, let me tell you what else is going on here. Let me tell you what else is happening here. We got, I wanted to find, there was one other food thing I wanted to see if I could find, but I can't find it. Because, you know, we've had kind of some weird food things going on. There was a thing, forgive me one second, granny pods, they're calling those pod things. But that sounds kind of weird, really. Well, here's Oprah Winfrey and David Letterman chatting, which would have to be kind of interesting all by itself. Those two, the legends of TV. They had a segment. What's the name of the woman's name? Guthrie, on the Today Show, and she had a woman on who's the super coupon collector lady, and the Guthrie lady's about 6.5 feet tall, and the little woman she had on. I thought they were standing on two different stages. She was 4.5 feet. What makes you officially a midget? Is there a thing, what do you call a little person? What size do you have to be officially that? Because she's close, I would think. Anyway, because I've never seen anything quite like Savannah Guthrie. That's her. I haven't seen anything quite like that in my whole life. It was just amazing. All right, so this was people are doing a thing about, what is this about? What did you say, Bill? This has to do with the internet. Because you can ask questions like I do all the time and say, what's the deal on this? All right, so that's what this ad is about. So it's probably about Windows 8 or something. No, Nexus. Nexus. It's about Nexus and Google. There we go. Okay, now let's get our story straight.
Monday at his old school, Indiana's Ball State University.
The late night host interviewed another television legend, Oprah Winfrey. Jeff Glore is at the Ball State campus in Muncie, Indiana. Jeff, good morning.
Charlie, Nora, good morning. As you know, Letterman and Winfrey have quite a history together. Letterman has been hosting this lecture series here at his alma mater, Ball State, for several years now, but this is by far the biggest event because of that history. It was also the most serious.
When I look out at this audience, I have the same thought each time. We really should charge for tickets.
David Letterman opened with a joke. But this was no comedy show. For an hour and 40 minutes, Letterman and Oprah Winfrey discussed everything from race to the abuse Winfrey endured as a child.
Raped at 9, continuously sexually molested from 10 to 14.
Winfrey's talked about these issues before, but never with a man who for 16 years she refused to talk to at all.
Oprah and I spent one night together 16 years ago. 16 years ago. She hasn't spoken to me since. That is my history with women in a nutshell.
From 1989 to 2005, Winfrey locked Letterman out.
We found out through reliable sources that Oprah hated me.
Oh.
he said 2 years ago is because he stuck Winfrey with an old lunch bill. Backstage, Oprah told us it was something else.
Much has been made of this
so-called feud.
Iciness in the
iciness,
past.
Yeah.
How do we refer to that?
I don't know what it is. Distancing. Let's call it a distancing. I had done a show of his, and during the process of the show, people started yelling bad things. And I thought that he should have taken control of the situation, or he didn't take control of the situation. It was just such an uncomfortable experience for me.
The number one message on Oprah's answering machine.
After a decade and a half of off and on prodding from Letterman 7 years ago, the icebreaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Oprah Winfrey.
That was followed by a brief Super Bowl ad.
Now, Dave, be nice.
And Letterman finally appearing on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
I thought you would have just picked up the phone.
I wanted to be asked, Oprah.
But there was nothing like this.
As a child.
You said you never had therapy.
No.
It felt a little like we were watching therapy.
It felt like Dave is giving me therapy. I mean, who would have thought? As I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, now, is this a full circle moment or what? I am sitting on stage in a real conversation with Dave Letterman, who's asking me, you know, things that I hadn't thought about for years.
We love you.
The conversation at Ball State, where students camped out waiting for tickets, traced Winfrey's path from Mississippi to Media Titan. So much to cover, the university's president thought she was supposed to wrap it up.
May we help you?
We're talking here.
I agree.
Letterman and Winfrey kept rolling 45 minutes past the scheduled end time.
I am, and again, I hate to invoke the word stunned. You and I have lived much different lives. I mean, I think that that's apparent superficially.
You are a white man.
I am a...
When you're up there like that, do you miss the show?
I do not miss the show. I don't miss the show. I thought about it for a very long time. And I knew that it would be very important that when you let it go, you really can let it go. What I do now, all those years, I never looked at my own ratings. But now, when the rating sheet comes in for everybody else's, I look at the whole list of all those people all fighting it out for a couple of rating points. And I think, whew.
As Winfrey navigates her next move, her cable network still seeking its own ratings growth, she appears to have put at least one rough patch behind her, mostly.
I said to him as we were walking over here, Dave, maybe if we can't call ourselves friends, maybe at least we can say we're friendly. We're friendly friends now.
And that's the way we refer to it now.
Yeah.
We're friendly, friendly friends.
We're friendly friends. You can't say you're a friend until you've sat at somebody's table. You've gone through something with them. You've experienced some challenging event, or you've been able to be there and support them. That's when you know if you're a friend. That's why I don't throw that word around. But you know that, yeah, we've opened a door.
Thanksgiving dinner next year?
Maybe not that friendly.
There you go. We did talk to a number of students who said they were surprised at the serious tone of this conversation, but that doesn't mean they weren't affected. As we said, the conversation went well beyond the scheduled end time.
Fascinating. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Fascinating right there. Well, that's fascinating. But anyway, it was kind of cool. Anyway, so that was going on with Oprah and David Letterman. So now they're friendly friends. You can't hardly beat that, can you? Being a friendly friend. Okay. Let me see if we missed anything. Let's see if there are any headlines or anything else we missed today. That I should have had, but I didn't because I missed it. It doesn't look like it. Well, let's hear this guy. What's a kid's name? Rumpelstiltskin? What's a kid's name here? What's a guy's name? I'll find it. It's right here. I've never heard of this. I've never heard of it. I think they used a different name. Anyway, his name is Agnes T. Jones. All right, he's the half man on Two and a Half Men who says, that show is nasty, and you shouldn't watch it. Even though I'm on it and I'm making a lot of money, I've made millions of dollars over the course of my life, you know, playing the dumb kid. It's really paid off for me and everything. Even though all of that is true, just don't watch it anyway, is what he's saying. Kind of. So that's what I'm guessing. All right. So we got all those crazy people are filming things and all that stuff. What do we have? Do we have any other special days coming up before Christmas? Like, well, we have Christmas Eve. We have that. And then we have 12 days of Christmas that people want to celebrate. That. But actually, the 12 days of Christmas go past the 25th, do they not? Don't they go to the end of the year? I believe so. I was invited to a party once. It was a 12-day Christmas party. I remember it was after Christmas. But then the person might have just been, did not have the faintest idea what was right or wrong about the whole thing. They just said, okay, we're just going to call it that.
Jones, who plays young Jake on Two and a Half Men, actually apparently urging people to stop watching the show. A bombshell video surfaced today for a California church where he attends service, and it shows a guy who looks an awful lot and sounds an awful lot like Jones saying the hit show is at odds with his Christian faith, and he wants people to stop watching.
Jake from Two and a Half Men means nothing. He is not an existent character. If you watch Two and a Half Men, please stop watching Two and a Half Men. I'm on Two and a Half Men. I don't want to be on it. Please stop watching it. Please stop filling your head with filth. Please. It's you know, people say it's just entertainment. The fact that it's entertainment, it's... Do some research on the effects of television and your brain, and I promise you, you'll have a decision. You'll have a decision to make when it comes to the television, and especially with what you watch on the television.
Wow, I'm sitting here dumbfounded as I see this. Now, today, a rep for Two and a Half Men told Showbiz Tonight that they're not going to be commenting on this video. Angus Jones makes a reported $350,000 an episode for Two and a Half Men. David, I'm going to start with you. I look at this and I'm thinking, well, clearly he is biting the hand that has made him very, very rich. But should I look at it differently? And should he be applauded for following his conscience? What do you think?
Look, I love the fact if the guy is truly religious and this video is to be believed, I love the fact that he's standing up for his faith. But, I mean, come on, it's kind of ridiculous. At parts in the video, you see him driving in a car, then he's sitting on the couch with that guy, and it seems almost extremist at points. He says at one point in the video, you can't be on TV and you can't be a God-fearing believer at the same time. That's ridiculous. You know, if the guy found God, fantastic. Yeah. But, watch the video for yourself. It's somewhat absurd.
Well, okay, but I wasn't going to watch the video. I thought you were going to just explain it to me and everything so I wouldn't have to watch it. That was the whole idea. That's why I got involved in that, to tell you the truth. Anyway, so, but here's the thing. Sometimes the answer is both. Like, they say, is this not, the guy may have found religion and all that, but isn't this biting the hand that feeds him? Yeah, both. Both. He has his own opinion about it. And yet he's biting the hand that feeds him. What was $350,000 an episode? That's what I make per day here. It's about that. Let's see what else we have going on. I was going to look up this today. I didn't get a chance to do it. So we have, you know, everybody's getting all over the Americans about, you know, you greedy, nasty, grubbing people. All right, but here's the thing. Hundreds of people gather in the rain to attend the opening of the traditional Christmas market in the Römerberg Square in Frankfurt, Germany on Monday. So here's hundreds of people getting ready to go into that place. That's in Germany. So I don't know quite how weird we are. Okay, we've got to get to this because there's a perspective today in the Tribune and we were talking about food and wheat and these other things. Just what is natural food? So they go on. Until a couple of years ago, Ben and Jerry's ice cream was labeled as natural. Then the company came under pressure from the Center for Science and the Public Interest because their ice cream contained, among other things, partially hydrogenated soybean oil, which is not supposed to be good at all. Anyway, so there are all kinds of lawsuits and things going back and forth and back and forth. Given how far food science has come in recent years and the fact that consumers are so confused about what natural means that they are being misled by the wording of labels, the FDA should do the admittedly difficult work of deciding whether what is and isn't natural or tell food companies to eliminate the term altogether. It would probably be easier, to tell you the truth, because they'll lie to you. They'll lie. They can't help themselves. They just do that. They just do that. Okay. Here's what they say about Ehud Barak, who's leaving the defense minister of Israel, about him. We're not exactly sure he's stepping down, per se, unless it's kind of by force, because he was a little bit more of a moderate than Benjamin Netanyahu, who's the word moderate does not apply to whatsoever, of course. So we don't really know what's going on. It did say Palestinians said the UN General Assembly will vote Thursday afternoon on a resolution raising their status in the United Nations from an observer to a non-member observer. Whatever, you know. Another thing that happened is, you know, this fire they had in Bangladesh that killed all these people. 112 people were killed in a clothing factory in Bangladesh. Guess what? Some of their clothes were being made for Walmart. Guess what? They said that they had stopped working with this company before. They started working with another company who jobbed some of it out to this company. So it's like they, and against their wishes, they didn't know that they were going to do that. And so they're like, we can't believe this happened ourselves. Right? Doors were locked. Fire extinguishers didn't work. You know, the usual that you hear about in the third world, people making stuff for us. Humboldt State has started a pod institute. Why not? You might as well study it. Of course, they get a lot of munchies in the classroom right there. They had other things. Here's Republicans block hunters and a land bill, a wide-ranging bill to hunters and fishermen access to public land stalled in the Senate. Well, these other people want to take your land, so that's the interesting thing there. So it's hard to say. And I have a sad thing to report also that I just happened to see briefly. And that is, remember the giant fan that got beat up at Dodger Stadium way back, first game of the season? He's still, as we speak, in a coma. It is not good. Okay. Now, we're going to join one of the Sesame Street guys and see whatever we find out. I'm sure it's fine. You'd sound like this, too, if you had a hand up the back of your, you know, son. Rain tomorrow on our fingertips, our noses, and our heads. We're going to have that tomorrow. We'll get together, go at noon. We'll do it together. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye.
Happy trails to you until... Again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling.